Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 13 of the Ash Bros podcast. I'm Todd, here with Peter, of course, and we're really excited to bring you guys this episode. I know, you know, me and Peter have been looking forward to this one for a few weeks, just doing our predictions for week one of the 2025 NFL regular season. So we're really excited to kick it off. But before we do, I just want to give a special shout out and special thanks to all of you guys who have listened to this podcast, even if it's just for like 10 seconds. It doesn't really matter, like, because we reached officially over 100 downloads of the Ash Bros podcast. Me and Peter are just really appreciative of all of you guys who have listened to it. And yeah, thank you so much. And we're just excited to continue to bring you guys, you know, this unique NFL content. And yeah, just trying to continue to, you know, grow as content creators and whatnot. So God, thank you so much. And yeah, we're excited for this episode. Peter, how are you doing today, man?
Doing really great. Thank you again. Yeah, like, thank you all you listeners, everything like that, for listening, tuning in. It's fantastic actually to have that many people actually tune in and do that. So it's awesome. I really appreciate it. Aussie first and foremost. And so I say real quick, I know, again, we're like recording right now and it's funny, like, whatever, it's Sunday, but, man, TJ Daniels from the Miami Hurricanes just made, like, one of the best catches I've ever seen in my life, just now against Notre Dame, just crazy stuff. So happy college football's back. It's just awesome to have football basically back in our fold, so, yeah, no, it's great, man. I'm happy doing this with you. It's great, and I hope we just obviously continue this run of fun that we're having.
Yeah, man, for sure. I mean, college football being back, too, like you said, definitely very exciting. So, yeah, man, football's back, and can't wait for NFL season week one to kick off. And speaking of kickoff, on Thursday, we have the opening game of the 2025 season between the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles this Thursday, September 4th, 8:20 p.m. Eastern on NBC. I don't know. I mean, this is an NFC East rivalry matchup here, so could kind of go either way. But Peter, I'm curious to see who you have for this Cowboys and Eagles rivalry matchup.
Dang, man, I don't know. It's not tough for me. I have the Eagles winning. First and foremost, I just think they're, like, again, the better team. Again, the Michael Parsons trade, we'll get into that stuff later on, but I guess to somewhat touch on it now, the Cowboys already didn't have a good defense to start with. You know, I didn't think it was that great with all the stuff that they have going on and the circus that is Jerry Jones kind of moving things around. I'm not a big fan of the team itself, even with Michael Parsons. Now they don't have him either. I got the Eagles. I got a score of maybe 31-17. Scores don't really matter at this point, but I think it'll be a two-possession game for the most part. They just got too much going on over there in Dallas, and I don't think they're a good enough team to contend with the Eagles, who basically have everything you want from top to bottom.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also got the Eagles winning this one. I think they'll win by double digits, to be honest. Like, I don't think it'll be like a crazy blowout win. I just think it'll be a comfortable, you know, win for the Eagles here. I just think it's a bad matchup for Dallas here. I do think CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, seeing George Pickens debut in a Dallas uniform should be fun to watch. They'll have their hands full with Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean on the slot there against CeeDee Lamb on some matchups there. But I just think Philadelphia, they're going to be able to run the ball well. I know Jerry Jones was saying, you know, we traded Michael Parsons to help our run defense. You know, Kenny Clark's a good player, but it's going to be tough for even just one player to slow down Saquon Barkley. So, yeah, I think this would be a comfortable win for the Eagles in week one. Yeah, I think they'll get out to a good start this season. So that's it for Thursday. But now going on to actually Friday's game here. In Brazil, second straight year the NFL is having a Friday game in Brazil in week one. Last year they had it between the Packers and the Eagles, which was a very fun matchup there that the Eagles won. This time it's the Chiefs playing the Chargers in an AFC West rivalry matchup here. Man, for me personally in this matchup, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. And it wouldn't shock me if, like, I think it'd be a close game. It wouldn't shock me if the Chiefs win by like 1 point or something like that, like 24 or 23 or something like that, because they seem to always kind of pull out those kind of wins. I don't know. I like the Chiefs team. I think their offensive line should be better than last year's. Obviously, you still have Patrick Mahomes. You got Travis Kelce, Andy Reid leading the way. And their defense is still pretty good as well. So, you know, the Chargers will give them a good battle. You know, usually when Justin Herbert plays Patrick Mahomes, it's a pretty good matchup that goes down to the wire. And the Chiefs ended up winning at the end of the day. And I think this matchup is going to be more of the same.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I also think the Chiefs are going to win Friday night matchup. It's tough with the Chargers. As much as like I do think they're good enough to win this game and that they're going to be fine, I think the Chiefs, especially Patrick Mahomes, I think he's a man on a mission this year. Talked about it before in the AFC West, kind of how he's basically been saying, or during our AFC West prediction, sorry, he basically has been saying, like, man, like, enough talk, let's just play football. I think he's out for a mission this year. I think he's ready to go right away, and I think the Chiefs get off to a quick start. I could see, again, 7-10 point victory. I know it could be closer. Usually these guys have banger of games, they have great matchups, and it ends up being a good contest at the end, but I think the Chiefs got it done pretty, not pretty comfortably, but comfortable enough where they walk away with a W and they're feeling good about themselves.
Moving on to Sunday. A lot of games here on Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening as well. But we're starting off here with a matchup in the NFC South. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta, 1 p.m. Eastern on Fox. I think this game is going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be maybe, I could see 30-something. But I'm going to lean the Buccaneers in this one. I think it'll be a close one, but I'm just going to take the team that I trust more, and I trust the Buccaneers more. I mean, Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, Emeka Ibuka, who looks like he's going to be a really reliable rookie receiver as well that in that offense. And then even defensively, they have some new pieces too, like Hassan Reddick and whatnot. So I think it'll be a close game. I think there'll be a lot of points. You know, the Falcons obviously have good offense as well, and I think Michael Penix will look good. Bijan Robinson is going to do his thing, but I think at the end of the day, the Buccaneers defense will get one stop that they'll need, or one turnover even late in the game, and I think that'll be the difference. And the Buccaneers will get out to a 1-0 start as they try to win the NFC South for the fifth consecutive year.
This one's interesting because obviously the Falcons have a lot to like. It's obviously Michael Penix being in the fold now. You expect them to be a lot more of a, I guess, a vertical offense. He's going to push the ball down the field. That's his DNA. This one's going to be really interesting. Again, with the Falcons, you know there's a lot to like about them. I think it's going to be super interesting with a guy like Michael Penix. Now I think there'll be a lot more of a vertical offense and push the ball down the field a lot more. If they let him basically get the keys to the car, that's what their offense is going to be like. But with that being said, I still have the Buccaneers winning as well. So far, hey, 3-for-3. We're both on the same page right now. But I do have the Bucs winning. I think their offense is too good. Even without Chris Godwin, even without Jalen McMillan, I think Bucky Irving, Bucky Irving, Mike Evans, and Emeka Ibuka get the job done. Again, there's a lot there with Baker Mayfield, and I think he's gonna pick off where he left off last year. He's a very dark horse sleeper MVP candidate this year. I think they have so many things going on with their offense. Again, someone like Todd Bowles is running the show because he's so, again, like defensive minded. You don't think of the offense, but there's a lot to like about him, and I think, again, they're going to get it done quick with that. I think they'll get just enough stops against a rookie, or not a rookie, but basically a first full-time starter in Michael Penix. I think the Buccaneers defense will do just enough to get stops, and then I think their offense will take over and do their thing. So, yeah, I also have the Bucs winning week one.
You said it. You're 3-for-3 for our picks so far. Let's see if that continues. You got the Bengals. Next matchup, Bengals taking on the Browns in Cleveland, 1 o'clock on Fox on Sunday. I think the Bengals are going to win this game, but I do think this game could get interesting because, the Browns, for some reason, I mean, it makes sense, I guess, because they're division rivals, but they play the Bengals like pretty well. Usually like I think it was a couple years ago, 2023, I think it was in week one, or it might've been 2022 is one of the years. It was 2023, and the Browns, like, it was in Cleveland. The Browns completely shut down the Bengals there in week one. And beat them there. And that Browns defense that year in 2023 was absolutely amazing. I think the Bengals, you know, will get it done here. I think Joe Burrow and their offense will be able to get off to a good start for once. Because, you know, the Bengals' slow starts have been well documented. They got off to an 0-2 start in each of the last three seasons. I think this year they'll snap that streak and they'll beat the Browns. But, you know, if their defense can't slow down, you know, 40-year-old Joe Flacco, even if the Bengals do win this game, they have a lot of problems. So we'll see what happens. I think that's the biggest thing. Will their defense, you know, look good? I think that's going to be the biggest thing for the Bengals coming out of week one.
I also have the Bengals, so I guess 4-for-4 right now. We're thinking of the same thing. Yeah, they're 3-8 in September over the last three seasons. It's, again, not a lot to like about them, but they made it a point this year, again, during preseason, to get Joe Burrow active early, get Ja'Marr Chase, and get the offense active early. I think that makes a big difference in this one. I think that's the reason why they beat the Browns this year. In the past, I would be a lot more skeptical. Like you said, like, hey, the defense plays them tough, and maybe if they start off slow, they might get a couple of stops, and the defense isn't good, so Flacco ends up kind of bombing them. Stuff like that could happen. I just think this time they're going to be ready to go, a lot more mentally locked in. I think some of the characters they have on defense now, especially, I get that rookie, Shamar Stewart, I wasn't big on him. And it wasn't because of the contract talks, but it was because of the only 1.5 sacks in college. But I think his mentality of, like, basically, I don't care who you are, I'm going to go after you. I think that energy feeds off and onto other players, and I think it's going to help them defensively. Whether that makes a big difference, I'm not sure, but I think it gets just enough done against what's going to be probably a subpar Browns offense. And with that being said, even if they're at home, they're not going to be an easy out. I still got the Bengals getting the job done. I think they offensively do just enough to get over the board. And yeah, I think Burrow, it's going to be a different September or different month of September for those Bengals this year.
Moving on now to an AFC South team, the Indianapolis Colts. They're hosting the Miami Dolphins 1:00 on CBS. I have the Dolphins winning this one. I think the Dolphins are just a better team, especially on offense. Week one, you know, everyone's healthy, which is good for Miami, with, you know, Tua and Devon Achane, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, a lot of talent there. I think they're going to be able to put up some points on that Colts defense, which on paper looks better than it did last year. But I think a new game with a new defensive coordinator and whatnot, and some new pieces, I think it might take them a little bit of time to really gel. And also another crazy stat, the Colts, they haven't won a week one game since 2013. Like, that's absolutely insane. It's been 12 years since the Colts last won in week one. Obviously, you know, they got to, you know, snap that streak eventually, but I don't think it'll be this year. So, yeah, I think the Colts will drop another week one game, and I think they're going to fall to 0-11-1 in week one since 2013.
Yikes. Yikes. Yeah, and man, that's crazy. And I was about to say, it's funny. I also have the Dolphins winning too, but it's more of a credit to the Dolphins. So Miami's had 21 straight season-opening victories since 1993, which is tied with us, our favorite team, the Green Bay Packers, for the most in the league during that span. I think they make it 22. Again, like, I'm not a fan of Daniel Jones. You know that already from the AFC South preview if you watched. And the Colts just seem dysfunctional. I think the Shane Steichen era is going to come to a very screeching halt this year, or after the end of this year. And there's not really much to blame but himself and management and some other people. Again, you want to put the blame on A-Rich and some other guys, sure. But this guy was supposed to be some kind of QB whisperer. Again, I don't see the hype. Like, even during games, he makes crucial mistakes. I'm not the biggest fan of him. I'm not the biggest fan of their team. And I don't even like the Dolphins that much this year. But I think they get it done. I think Tua gets off to a quick start. They usually get off to fast starts, Miami, especially offensively. They play their guys during the preseason a lot. Tyreek Hill seems like he's that, like, again, seems like his head's on straight on the field in terms of what he wants to do, regaining his teammates' trust and everything like that. I think they get off to a fast and blazing start offensively, and it'll be just enough. Maybe it's somewhat high-scoring because both defenses, especially the Dolphins' defense, isn't that great. So the Colts, I can see them putting some points on the board, but yeah, I have the Dolphins winning that one. And then maybe not a shootout, but a somewhat high-scoring offensive game.
This one, I'm very curious to see who you have for this one. The Las Vegas Raiders, the new-look Las Vegas Raiders, I should say, taking on also the new look New England Patriots, 1:00 on CBS in New England. I got the Patriots winning this one. I think it'll be a close game though, and honestly, I would not be surprised at all if the Raiders won this game. You got the debut of Ashton Jeanty, who the Raiders picked with the 6th overall pick last year. It'll be interesting to see him, you know, go up against that New England defensive front that looks kind of rebuilt, you know, with the guys they got in free agency. So, I don't know. I think that side of the ball is going to be interesting. And even the other side, too. You know, can Max Crosby dominate against the Patriots offensive line? I think if he can't, then I think Drake May will have a big game against the Raiders defense that outside of Crosby doesn't look too great on paper, especially in the secondary. There's a lot of questions there. So yeah, I got the Patriots winning this game, but I think it could definitely go either way, to be honest.
I can see it being a good game. I think the Patriots end up winning this one by 10 or more. I'm a little more confident in the Patriots getting this one done in somewhat comfortable fashion. The Raiders, to me, I haven't seen enough straight up to based off everything. I know the Patriots are also new, but I have a lot more faith in Mike Vrabel and what he's going to do defensively against the Raiders and kind of what they got going on. That offensive line for the Raiders, I really don't trust it. I think the Patriots, I think Vrabel, I think they show him a bunch of different looks early. And especially like Geno Smith, he'll throw anything, he'll try stuff. I think that leads to a disaster in New England. It's going to be a rowdy crowd over there. And then I think they put on a show offensively. I think the Patriots are going to be ready to go right away. Again, I'm not the biggest Josh McDaniels guy, but I don't know. I like Trayvon Henderson, what they got going on over there. I think Drake May is going to use his legs and kind of get around guys. Obviously, Max Crosby can change the game. Him himself, he's that good. He can do that. But I just think they do just enough to protect him. And they have a couple big plays down the field. That Raiders secondary is not good whatsoever. So I can see a couple big plays down the field. Wouldn't shock me if they end up winning this one by, like I said, 10 or more. It's pretty comfortably, especially in New England.
Our next matchup here, we have the Arizona Cardinals traveling to New Orleans to take on the Saints in New Orleans. Another 1 o'clock game on CBS here. To sum up who I think is going to win for this game, honestly, like if I was in a Survivor League, you know, we're basically like you know, every single week you basically, you know, pick the team that you think is going to win. Like, I think this is the game for week one. I think you got to pick the Cardinals here against the Saints. I think the Saints are going to be overmatched in this one. I think the Cardinals, you know, they just have more talent. They're a more talented team. They have a lot of continuity. I completely butchered that name again for the second time on this podcast. But, I do think the Cardinals will get this win here. The Saints, I mean, I don't know. I think Kellen Moore, the new head coach, I think he has a lot of work cut out for him, man. He had a lot of success in Philadelphia last year, but, you know, the Eagles had a lot of talent that the Saints don't really have outside of Chris Olave, who I love, but has had injury concerns, especially with concussions, which is obviously a very scary thing. So I think the Cardinals are going to win this game. They're going to put up some points on offense. And I think the defense, the new look defensive line, guys like Josh Sweat, Walter Nolan, the first round pick from this year's draft, I think they're going to make some plays as well. So, the Cardinals defense, who knows? They could be a defense you can even stream for fantasy football as well. So,
I'm with you. I'm on the same page again. Man, crap. We're 7-for-7 right now. I also have the Cardinals win this one. I keep saying I don't trust people or anything like that. I just don't know what to say about these Saints, right? Like, if they end up winning this game, I think it's more of the Cardinals need to look in the mirror big time. Right? Like, I don't think it's more like, oh, the Saints are better than we thought. Like, I think the Cardinals are bad then. Like, if they lose this game, you could say, oh, it's week one jitters and everything like that. I think you have serious, serious issues over there if you lose a game like this. Like, this is a perfect tee-off game. You're on the road, but you're also in a hostile environment, but the team also isn't good. It's like you almost get the best of three worlds. Not bad, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like everything that's set up for you. It's a week one game, so you know you're not going to be not as sharp right away. But you also play a team that isn't that good. But you're also dealing with a bunch of fans who are going to be all over you. It's going to be like a rowdy game in terms of like the fan base. The fans are going to be there. So we all know where the Saints fans are in Louisiana, how it gets down there. So, I think the Cardinals should win this one pretty convincingly. If they don't, then whatever, sure, a win is a win. But if this is any more than like a – if this ends up being like a three-point game or something weird, like a one-score game, something really weird like that and ends up being super close – I think the Cardinals have big, big, major issues that they got to look forward to seeing all year, and it's going to kind of suck.
Our next game, we have a very interesting matchup actually here. The Pittsburgh Steelers on the road against the New York Jets, 1 o'clock CBS. It's interesting because the Steelers, obviously, you know, last year they had Justin Fields at quarterback for a little bit, then they benched him for Russell Wilson, and the Jets had Aaron Rodgers last year, and now they've swapped teams. Aaron Rodgers is now on the Steelers, and Justin Fields is on the Jets. For me, I'm going to go with the Steelers in this one. I just think their defense, they're going to make some big plays. TJ Watt, and Alex Highsmith, Cam Hayward, they're going to make some plays on the defensive line there and help the Jets get maybe a low scoring win, maybe like 17-14, something like that.
Most people see, and again, like this game for me, it took me a while to kind of, not really a while to think of it, but it was kind of me flip-flopping back and forth. I know people are saying it's a revenge game for the Steelers. For Aaron Rodgers, it makes sense getting on over there. I could easily see A-Rod and maybe having a vintage game over there and doing his thing. I also I don't know. I think the Jets defense is super tough. And I'm going to take an upset here. This is the first time we're going to disagree. I'm going to go ahead and take the New York Jets. I think they'll just get enough done. Not maybe through the air, but I think Justin Fields break and contain will work a couple times. Not on TJ Watt's side, but I think on the other side where Herbig and Highsmith are very aggressive outside linebackers. And I think he'll have one or two plays that perhaps gets them like a big downfield play and they get down into the red zone. A couple field goals, a couple scores. I guess it's easy to see a 14-10 type of game, 17-14 type of game. And I think the Jets grind it out and they do just enough defensively to hold off the Steelers. And again, like I know obviously it's a more of an upset pick with the Jets for sure. But I think they do just enough, man. At home, I think the crowd's going to be rocking. And I think maybe you never know with special teams, things can happen. It always seems like the Steelers are, they find a way to kind of get those lucky wins. So maybe I'm probably going to be completely off with this. But I think the Jets turn the table on them and the horseshoe flips off. And this time they get the win. So yeah, I'm going to go with the Jets.
All right. Interesting. The Jets, I think we're going to be a very feisty team this year with Aaron Glenn being the new head coach. So we'll see what happens there. This next matchup, NFC East, another NFC East matchup here. Giants visiting the Commanders there in Washington, 1 o'clock on Fox. Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady, they're on the call for Fox there. I think this is going to be a very interesting game. Like on paper, it looks like the Commanders should blow out the Giants here and dominate, but I'm actually going to take the Giants in a big upset win here. I think this is going to be a matchup where we really get, you know, our first look at the Giants defensive line, and I think they're going to dominate this game. I think Abdul Carter, their first round pick from this year's draft, Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, I think they're just going to dominate up front, and they're going to make Jaden Daniels very uncomfortable. I don't even think Jaden Daniels is going to have like a bad game. He might have like a turnover or something like that, but I don't think he'll have a bad game. I just think they'll kind of dominate. You know, the Commanders last year dominated on fourth down a lot, but I do think the Giants, they get a few sacks on third down, you know, now it's like fourth and long, force the Commanders to punt the ball. And then the other side of the ball, man, that Commanders defense, I have a lot of questions. And I think Russell Wilson, being the Giants' new quarterback there, I think if he can connect with Malik Nabers on a few deep plays, a few deep bombs down the field, and not turn the ball over, I think the Giants, that's the recipe for success for them to get an upset win here in week one.
I'm going to actually, again, I guess we're going to disagree again. I'm going to go with the Commanders. I completely understand what you're saying with the Giants. I think they got exactly what it takes to pull off the upset. Great defensive line. They're going to feast all year. And it's going to be hard for Jalen to really move the football like that and kind of go away from that. But I can see a game plan where maybe they try to run the ball up, not maybe at the middle more, but maybe they try to incorporate a lot more zone reads. I would attack the rookie Abdul Carter and maybe see how aggressive he's going to be in the beginning and see what he's reading. If they're all going for Jalen, maybe they just hand the ball off. Obviously, Dexter Lawrence being there doesn't help. But I think, again, having Terry McLaurin back is massive. And getting a couple practices in, like I got like one or two in with him, I think that was huge, getting him signed, right? And now I think, even though they might be rusty to start, I think there'll be a couple times where maybe they finally get protection and they can just hit him over the top once or twice. It's a tough Giants defense. They have really guys everywhere. Their secondary is also pretty damn strong. So they got everything you like over there. But I think on the flip side, we're talking about the Giants D and the Commanders offense. The Commanders defense, yes, there are questions in terms of like the secondary and especially the corners, but I think their front seven last year, they were so dependent on turnovers. I think, again, I think the same thing happens. I think Dan Quinn, that's what he's good at. He's good at kind of bluffing blitzes, showing you weird things. And Russell Wilson, man, he gets in his own head a lot. One thing about all those Giants quarterbacks, except for Jackson Dart, who's a question mark, they all turn the ball over, especially recently. They all like to do that. Russ is kind of up and down with that. Sometimes he's great at doing it, sometimes he's not. But I think they do just enough to kind of get around him and force him to do something that he doesn't want to do. And with that offensive line, I don't think it'll be that hard. Again, like as much as the Commanders' offensive line isn't maybe the best slash with the Giants' run pass rush, that Giants' offensive line is horrible. I don't think it's good at all. I think they do just enough, blitz a couple times, get there. I think it's going to be a really close game. I kind of agree with you there. I think it's going to be a good game, but I think the Commanders just edge it out and get it done.
All right, so we were agreeing with our picks, and now we're kind of opposite sides the last two ones. I'm curious to see how it goes moving forward. But this next matchup, we have the Carolina Panthers traveling to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. 1 o'clock game, the last 1 o'clock game actually here, and it'll be on Fox as well. I have the Jaguars winning this game. I think they're at home, so I think that'll help them a lot. New head coach Liam Cohen, I think his offense, we saw last year in Tampa Bay how well it went there. And I think with Trevor Lawrence, he's going to help him big time here. I can see a lot of big plays for the offense in this game against the Panthers defense that made a couple, you know, moves in the offseason. They got Trevon Moehrig in free agency and whatnot. But I think this is a Panthers defense that I think they're still a year away from really being a at least middle of the pack defense. I think on paper, they just don't have a lot of difference makers there. So Brian Thomas Jr., Travis Hunter, it's time to eat up. I think they're going to eat up big time in this matchup. And I think they're going to score 30 plus points. And I think it'll be a close game. I think Bryce Young and the Panthers offense will put up some points as well. But I think Jacksonville will come away with the win there.
I like it. I like that mindset. I like the thought about the Jaguars. Once again, we're actually going to disagree. I got the Carolina Panthers pulling off what seems to be the upset because a lot of people are on Jacksonville. And then they get their first win or first season opening win since 2021. The Panthers were 5-12 last season. They had some very close losses down the stretch. And I think this year they just keep on going with that momentum of playing well. Bryce Young being all like super confident. I think he puts on a show against a, what I think is a subpar Jacksonville defense. Just as bad as against the Panthers, arguably, right? I think they get it done. I think the Panthers are going to be, again, Panthers defense being healthy, Derrick Brown being in lineup, J.C. Horn being in lineup. I think that helps out a lot. And I think they get it done, man. They started off 1-7 last year, won 4 of the final 9 games, and they had some like crazy, crazy tough games down the stretch, and they made a lot of them close. So I think the Bryce magic continues. I think they get it done. Deep Canales is something brewing there. And Liam Cohen, I think it's going to be early, man. I think he starts off his career with a little bit of growing pains. I don't know if they have everything down set with their offense. Obviously, he's a big-time offensive mind, likes to move things around with the Buccaneers, but this isn't Tampa Bay anymore. I don't think he has the offensive line to kind of just have fun and free flow. So I think they get it done. I think the Panthers pull off the upset. They go to Jacksonville, and they get started off on the right note this year.
Now we move on to the 4 o'clock window games, and this one should be interesting. Tennessee Titans at Denver Broncos, 4:05 on Fox. Cam Ward, welcome to the NFL. Your first test? The Denver Broncos defense. So I have the Broncos winning this game. I think the Broncos are going to have the best defense in the NFL this year. Last year, they weren't really far off from that, and they made some additional moves to make their defense even better. And then on the other side of the ball, I think Bo Nix and their offense should continue to get better. I don't think it'll be like a blowout. I think Tennessee's defense, which I think is pretty underrated actually on paper, I think they'll make some plays, but I can see the Broncos winning it, you know, maybe like 27-13. Something like that.
This one scares me because I think I can see it getting real ugly. I can see the narrative around Cam Ward getting bad because of this game, and it shouldn't. So I'll put a disclaimer on this one. I think the Broncos win. I think he can get really bad. I hope for the sake of the Titans that they're ready to go right away. But all things considered, and from what I've seen from at least the Titans camp, they were saying their offenses were starting too fast, looked a little slow. Guys were only on the same page. The receivers, other than Calvin, really aren't the greatest guys to look at. Again, and Chig is okay. Okonkwo, he's the tight end. He can play. But there's not a lot to love over there, and you're playing probably, again, I think you and I agree, you said the best defensive football. I think they're going to be right up there. And then I think, again, Bo Nix, he looks more confident than ever when I watch him. Again, from what I've seen, he looks a lot more confident. The key for him, again, we were talking about it before, is intermediate throws. If he can make the 10 to 15-yard throws, and if he's making them consistently in this game, I think it's going to get really bad. I just think they're going to march up and down the field, even against the Titans defense that is underrated. And they're really good passing-wise, and they're the top passing defense last year, which is crazy. But I just don't see how it works this time. I think eventually maybe they get a couple stops, maybe defense does their thing, but eventually the Broncos get going with that offensive line and they start humming. I can see this one getting really bad if the Titans don't get off to a good start quick.
Our next matchup is also a 4:05 p.m. game on Fox. The San Francisco 49ers taking on the Seattle Seahawks. NFC West rivalry matchup. I think it's going to be a good one. I think it'll be close, but I have the Seahawks winning this one. They're at home, which is the biggest thing, to be honest. I look at their defense. Their defense is really, really good. I know I said the Broncos will have the best defense in the NFL this year. I could see the Seahawks having a top five defense. I think that's how good they can be this year because they have difference makers at all three levels. You look at, you know, Leonard Williams on a defensive line there. Ernest Jones, who was really good at linebacker last year, could be a Pro Bowler this year. And then even in the secondary, Devin Witherspoon, wow, is a very good corner as well. Can play on the outside, can play in the slot, and both of them at a very high level. So, you know, I think, you know, the head coach, Mike McDonald, he's had a lot of success against Brock Purdy and the 49ers offense in the past. And I think that'll continue, especially with the 49ers having so many injuries on offense, especially the wide receivers coming in. I think the Seahawks will get it done here at home.
Everything you're saying makes complete sense. Everything. And I'm still going to take the 49ers to win this game. These games can go either way. Like you said, they're such weird divisional games. Like the NFC West, they're always great games between each other. They always end up being classic games. And they're fantastic. But, man, you were talking about Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, his career numbers in Seattle, you can listen to this, 227 yards per game, 6 touchdown passes, 1 pick. He's never lost in Seattle. And even when I know there's a ton of injuries, I know there's things going on, he seems to play better against them when he's in Seattle. It's weird. I don't know what it is about it, but like it's almost like some kind of fairy dust goes on the guy and he plays way better over there. I think they just get enough and they get it done offensively. I guess what you said, it's going to be a really tough defense to play against. The Seahawks offense is going to be a big question for me. I think they're going to be able to run the ball pretty decently, but passing the ball, Ken Darnold, like again, we'll see what they have to throw. Robert Saleh being back, he'll know some stuff. If they can generate some pressure, Michael Williams, Nick Bosa, etc., send some blitzes, get after him. I can see this being one of those games where it ends up being 24-21 kind of thing. But yeah, I'm going to go with the Niners to win this one, and Brock Purdy remain undefeated in Seattle.
Yeah, it should be very interesting to see Sam Darnold's debut in Seattle for sure against the 49ers, the team that he was actually on a couple years ago. Next matchup, 4:25 p.m. on CBS. This might be the game of the week, folks. The Detroit Lions traveling to Green Bay to take on the Packers. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo on the call. So, you know, it's a big one here. Honestly, I'm not even joking. I was going to take the Lions to win this game. And if the Lions do win this game, it'll be the fourth straight year that they beat the Packers at Lambeau Field. But after the Packers got Micah Parsons this past week, I think that just changes the equation. Yeah. It is a great time to be a Packers fan. Go Pack, go. But yeah, I mean, even if Micah Parsons doesn't play like a lot of the snaps, like even if he plays maybe like, I don't know, like 20 something snaps, 30 something snaps, I just think they're going to be so impactful. And, you know, he's such a game wrecker that he can literally change the game with one play. So it'll be a close one. I think the Lions and the Packers are pretty evenly matched. I think the Lions are probably a slightly better team, but with this game being in Green Bay and the addition of Parsons, I think the Packers will pull out a close game here against the Lions.
I'm with you too, man. I'm taking the Packers and I'm taking them again. I know it's been like, oh, you're biased, whatever. I'm literally taking them because I'm like, I don't think we lose to them 4 straight times in Green Bay. Like, if you're going to tell me that we're going to lose to these things, I know it sounds like weird. There's not really logic there. I just think sometimes sports doesn't have logic. It's just sports. You know what I'm saying? And it's literally for the sake of, I don't think they beat us 4 straight times there. I think the energy of having Micah in the building, I think just how things are going to be with us, I think we get off to a good start. And I think it's going to be a great matchup. I think it's going to be a great game. I think we do just enough. Again, it's going to be a clawler, a nail scratcher. But I think maybe Parsons comes in the game, we get pressure, something happens. One or two turnovers in that game, and Jordan Love, as long as Jordan Love takes care of the ball, it's a big thing, I think we get the job done. In a close game, like 3-point game, something like that, 1-point game, I think we just do enough to win the matchup. That's because I think we're right there now. That move helped us a lot to kind of, we got a game maker of our own, right? They have Aiden Hutchinson, now we have one of our own. So, again, we'll see what happens, but I also have the Packers winning this one.
Up next, we have another 4:25 p.m. game on CBS. The Houston Texans traveling to take on the Rams in Los Angeles. This is going to be a close game. I think this could be, honestly, a dark horse Super Bowl preview, to be honest. I think both teams are that good. I have the Texans winning this one on the road, though. I just think defensively, Will Anderson Jr., Daniel Hunter, that's the best pass rushing duo in the league, in my opinion. I hope Matthew Stafford's healthy and ready to go, and he's not, I just hope I hope he's ready to go. That's the best way I can put it, because those guys are scary coming off the edge. And he already has a back injury already. I really hope he's good to go for that one, because those guys are very good. And then, the other side of the ball, the Rams defensive line is very good and whatnot, and the Texans offensive line isn't very good, but I do think with the addition of, the new offensive coordinator, Nick Cayley, he's bringing in, some new offensive line protection. CJ Stroud is going to have, all the freedom now to, change the protections and whatnot. And he's a very smart quarterback. Like, if you really look into him and how he prepares for games, I think that's going to help them big time, because if he gets time to throw, it's a big if, I know, but if he does get time to throw, I think Nico Collins, Jaden Higgins, those guys are going to have some big games against that Rams secondary. So, yeah, I like the Texans on the road there.
Again, like, it's just one of those games. I think, again, everything you're saying makes sense. It all makes sense. The Rams are usually a pretty slow starting team as well. Matthew Stafford really just started practicing. It feels like 2 days ago, but he really just came back. It doesn't look good for them. It just all signs point to the Rams winning, or sorry, the Texans winning. But I'm gonna take the Rams. I just think that defensive line does just enough against a bad offensive line. I know CJ Stroud can change protection and stuff like that now. To me, it doesn't matter that much. If the guys suck, the guys suck. You can call out protections and say, oh, well, this guy's coming, or this guy's coming. He can still get there. You know it's coming. Remember that Cam Newton? Oh, you whatever. Or watching film, huh? Watch this. Or maybe this. I can see something like, it doesn't matter what you do. If your stuff isn't, like, if guys aren't good, it doesn't really matter what you call. You can help them a little bit, but not that much. I think the Rams, I think, again, they get off to it, and it's going to surprise people, but I think they go. That defensive line versus that Texans offensive line is a significant mismatch. Like, I know the Texans D-line, you can argue the same about the Rams O-line, but the Rams O-line at least is, like, somewhat competent. That Texas O-line, like, I don't know, man. Last year it was bad, and they had Laremy Tunsil on the team, and he was arguably the best lineman, and he wasn't even that good last year. Now they got even, again, they don't even have him. I don't know, man. I think they do just enough. I like CJ Stroud, but if they can't get the ball going, again, they didn't really address their biggest issue was offensive line. They didn't address it at all. And more or less, they kind of did it for the fun vibes of the group or whatever to kind of make it better. I got the Rams winning this one. Again, another closely tight game, but I think Stafford maybe looks good enough. Week one, he hasn't really been moving too much. I think they end up getting done somehow.
Our next matchup here, I think this game is going to be the best game of the week for sure. Baltimore Ravens on the road, taking on the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. Rematch of last year's AFC division round matchup, which was, you know, an instant classic game. The Bills won that game 27-25, 2-point win there. I think this will be a close game. I love Lamar Jackson. I love Derrick Henry. I think those guys are really good. I think the Ravens honestly have the best roster in football. But at the end of the day, I gotta go with the Bills, man. At home, Josh Allen, reigning MVP. I think at the end of the game, you're gonna be hearing, hey, 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 hey. I think the Bills will take it at home.
Oh, man. hey, man, I respect it. I like it. I think the Bills, again, like, there's a lot to like with what they have. And, again, usually they got the better of him last time in divisional rounds, so why can't they do it again? Again, like, what you said makes sense. That they're nice. They got what you got. Like, everything they have going on is good. You're reigning MVP, in my opinion, not the reigning MVP, but reigning MVP, Josh Allen, up against Lamar Jackson. I think the Ravens get it done. I think it's early. It's not a snow game. The pressure of the playoffs isn't on. So you know what that means. Lamar's going to come out ready to go. Lamar last year lost to the Chiefs in, like, that week one game was great. And it always seems like there's something that always just ends up holding them back, the Ravens. I think this time you just give it to Derrick Henry 30 times and just say go. Just keep running, run as much as you can. And eventually it breaks one or two big ones. I got the Ravens winning this one in the classic. But I think Derrick Henry this time is the star of the show, not Lamar.
Yeah, I can easily see that, man. The Ravens are a heck of a team. One of the few elite teams in football, in my opinion, for sure. And our last matchup of the week, we have the Minnesota Vikings traveling to Chicago to take on Caleb Williams and the Bears. New era in Chicago with Ben Johnson being there. Should be an interesting matchup on Monday night. I do think the Vikings will win this game, and I think they'll start off the J.J. McCarthy era with a win. 1-0. I think it comes down to just Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. You know, I feel like them getting off on the right page, it's going to be hard for them to do that, to start off the regular season against Brian Flores-led defense. You know, just the looks that he's going to give Caleb Williams. It's going to be hard, in my opinion, for Caleb to really, you know, be able to decipher those and figure them out. And I do think J.J. McCarthy on the other side of the ball, the Bears' defense is definitely solid, and they have some pretty good playmakers there. But I do think, you know, with Justin Jefferson being there, T.J. Hockenson, you know, the running game with Aaron Jones, Jordan Mason, just got Adam Thielen back, Minnesota legend as well in that trade last week. So it'll be a close game. It'll be, you know, down to the wire, but I trust Kevin O'Connell as a head coach at this point too, more than Ben Johnson. So I got the Vikings winning this one.
I like that. I like what the approach that, yeah, the coaches are better there too. Or it's just Kevin O'Connell kind of has, not really that he's better, but like he is the better coach as of now and arguably the best coach in our division, one of the best coaches in the league. I also have the Vikings winning this one as well, and it's more so about Brian Flores against Ben Johnson. I think Brian Flores, I don't know if you saw, but like a couple of, I think it was a week or two ago, something like that, or even a couple of days ago, Teron Armstead said something about Caleb Williams. Apparently he's saying he's really bad against pre-snap pressure and blitzes. And again, maybe he's probably gotten better at that. With a guy like Ben Johnson, he's probably helped him diagnose things a lot better. I just think you're playing Brian Flores and a former Pro Bowl tackle. I know he didn't play with Caleb, but if he's seeing it from his point of view, I don't think it's going to get pretty ugly for Caleb if he's not seeing that right away. Brian Flores has some of the most sophisticated blitz packages we've seen. The bluff blitzes, the loop blitzes, guys getting around, having one of his D tackles drop back, his CD come down. Sometimes the width apart is like not as marginal, and they're still doing things that are crazy. Like there's a bunch of stuff that he does, and I think the pressure will be just enough. I don't think JJ McCarthy will be that great, to be honest. I think they'll run the ball just as well. I think that offensive line is going to be big for him. And I think they'll run the ball pretty, like, not maybe well, but well enough, about 4 yards per carry. And I think they win this one in a grind out. I think 2017 is my final score on that one, or 2016, something like that, 2014. I can see the Vikings struggling a little bit offensively, but I think defensively, they'll make a couple plays here and there that'll change the game in their favor. And that's why I have them winning week one.
Yeah, that should be a very interesting NFC North matchup there on Monday Night Football. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Ash Bros podcast. I know me and Peter are just so grateful for you guys all listening to it. And yeah, we're just excited to continue to give you guys more content, especially with the season kicking off. So definitely, you know, stay tuned and be on the lookout for more and more content and more episodes moving and coming your way. So thank you all for listening. We hope you have an amazing day wherever you're listening from. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.